He is obviously the greatest quarterback of this era. There's no getting around it. And, you know, if you want to start screaming greatest of all time and so forth, you're entitled to it. I can't do that because I just think there's just such differences between eras that what you give to one, you take away from somebody else. I mean, what you give to, let's pick in this current era, Mike Trout, or you give to Hank Aaron, or you give to Mantle, or you give maybe even to Barry Bonds. Don't take away from Babe Ruth. If you give to Babe Ruth, don't take away from Hank Aaron. Because they're all right in the same pool of greatness. And it's just a matter of opinion in the pool of greatness, who you select. You're talking about people who win? I mean, the greatest single winner of all time is Bill Russell. He won 11 NBA championships. He won 2 college basketball national championships. He won an Olympic gold medal. Now, he is the only link among those 14 championships. Casey Jones was there, obviously, for a chunk of them, with 8 of them with the Celtics on the gold medal winning team and also on the 2 USF teams that won. But Bill Russell was on all 14 of those teams. He's the greatest winner ever. Henri Richard won 11 times in his career. Among starting quarterbacks, name the only other starting quarterback in the history of pro football that has 7 championships. Matt wants to say Nick Foles, and I get concerned.
Well, not to mention Ben to 10 and everything else that he just added to his resume yesterday.
Otto Graham.
Right. Otto Graham, yeah.
Right. I mean, people, don't know much about Otto Graham. Right? Otto Graham, who I think at one point, he was at Cornell, but for the most part was at Northwestern. Yeah, you come out of the war, and they started something called the All-American Football Conference. And he was the starting quarterback for Paul Brown. They won all 4 AAFC championships. They then went to the NFL, and he played 6 years in the NFL, and he won 3 NFL championships with the Cleveland Browns. But here's the part. Otto Graham played in 10 seasons in pro football. 10. You know how many championship games he went to during the 10 years? Now, he had Marion Motley, he had Dante Lavelli, they had Lou Groza. They had some fabulous players on the Dub Jones, Burt Jones' dad, Dub Jones. They had some great players on that team. Marion Motley was an absolute force on that team. But Otto Graham was the focal point, and after 9 seasons, Otto Graham retired. He retired. And Paul Brown worked like the devil in the summer of that year to convince Otto Graham to come back. And Otto Graham finally at the last minute said, "All right, I'll come back for one more season." And the Cleveland Browns won the championship again, and this time they won it in the Coliseum. And when Paul Brown took him out of the game, now remember, this is the LA Coliseum. This is not Municipal Stadium in Cleveland. Otto Graham, when he ran off the field at the end of the game, when they took him out deliberately because they were up so big, the fans at the LA Coliseum gave him a standing ovation. Now, does anybody know about Otto Graham? No. Because to many people, and the NFL seems to have started with the Super Bowl. He's won 7 Super Bowls. Otto Graham won none. That's right. Otto Graham did win a Super Bowl. Bart Starr won 2 Super Bowls. No, Bart Starr won 5 NFL championships. Right. Otto Graham's record in 12 playoff games was 9-3. Pretty good. Bart Starr only quarterbacked 1 championship game where he didn't win. That was that Eagles game in 1960, his first one. Okay. Well, he won 2 Super Bowls. He won 5 championships. He won 5 NFL championships. What people seem to forget is that it's amazing about baseball. People know about Cobb. They know about Ruth. They know about DiMaggio. They know about Williams. But when it comes to the NFL or pro football, they don't seem to know the people that actually kept the sport alive. Because the NFL was not the juggernaut it is now. It's guys like Mel Hine, Red Grange, Don Hudson, right? In the bygone era, Otto Graham. I mentioned several of the Browns, but Norm Van Brocklin. That kept the sport alive until finally in 1958 when the Colts beat the Giants, where America got to see the game, went, wow, this is a really cool game to watch on TV. TV, of course, then started to make the NFL what it is today. But if these guys don't do what, because most of these people have part-time jobs, Matt. I mean,
that's
I'll
right.
give you, I mean, John Havlicek, okay, John Havlicek, one of the greatest players in the history of the NBA. Up until 1970, like 8 years into his career, still had a part-time job in the offseason. So when you talk about players that, oh, they're in much better shape today, and da-da-da-da, guess what? You don't have part-time jobs. You don't have to be out there selling insurance in June and July to keep some money flowing in when maybe you should be working out. It was different. It was a different era, and these people kept their leagues alive by playing. There's different circumstances. Are the athletes today in much better shape? Absolutely. They're fine-tuned human machines. Phenomenal. You know, and with everything that you have between sports performance and strength and conditioning and speed drills and things like that. These are the best conditioned baseball players have ever been, best conditioned hockey players have been, best conditioned basketball players have ever been in, the best conditioned football players have ever been in. But don't take away for a moment from the people that, look, the game is where it is today because some people kept the thing alive. And by the way, we're also pretty darn good in their era. And believe me, talking about that does not take away from the greatness of Tom Brady. Tom Brady is great. And guess what? There's a lot of other people that are also great. That's why they're special, and that's why they're Hall of Famers. So the debate about he's the greatest ever, Michael Jordan or LeBron, who's the greatest ever, who's the greatest hockey player ever, Gretzky, Howe, whatever, you know, who's the greatest baseball player ever? Aaron, Rue. Look, there's a pool of people that are great players. I mean, you don't think for a moment that when Tom Brady is a first ballot Hall of Famer, that it won't mean something to him that he can stand side by side with Johnny Unitas. Now, Unitas, of course, has passed away. But in other words, that he has the same standing that he's in there with Johnny Unitas, Bart Starr, Joe Montana, Peyton Manning, Otto Graham, Sid Luckman, Sammy Baugh, Fran Tarkenton. You know, you don't think that's not going to mean something to him that his name is mentioned in the same sentence with them? And conversely, you don't think it means something to Joe Montana, Steve Young, Brett Favre, people like that, that their name gets mentioned in the same sentence as being a Hall of Famer as Tom Brady? That's because these are among the greatest. There's only a limited number of people to get in. 5 people get in this time. That's the max you can do. You know, plus a couple others. But, you know, Megatron gets in. Woodson gets in. Manning gets in. Alan Faneca get in. We heard Neil Coulong impassionately talking about Alan Faneca last week. Lynch got in. It's phenomenal for them to do that. Drew Pearson, I was thrilled to see Drew Pearson get in. He may not have been Jerry Rice. Didn't have the speed of Tyreek Hill or Mike Evans or the hands maybe of, well, he had maybe the hands of Chris Godwin. But Drew Pearson was a phenomenal player. Phenomenal. And he made himself from a free agent into a Hall of Famer. Bill Nunn got in. Talked about the super scout of the Steelers. Deserved it. Tom Flores got in as a coach for winning two Super Bowls. But it's so special to be elected to a Hall of Fame where you're considered to be among the best ever. And then if you want to play the game after that about who's better and this, that, and the other thing, and that's fine. But to me, there's a pool of greatness.